السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد. We were talking about the man who came from the suburbs of the city and urged the people of that city to believe in the prophets, and they rejected him and they killed him eventually. Now, what happened after his death? These are the few verses which discuss some issues here about what happened after he died to him and to his people. قيل ادخل الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. He was told, enter the paradise, and he said, I wish my people knew that how God has forgiven me. بما غفر لي ربي, how God has forgiven me, have covered me with his maghfirah, وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ, and have placed me among the honored ones. Okay, it's one verse, but lots of questions comes about. First of all, how people could immediately after they die enter paradise? Now, there could be an opinion that this is about future, about when people are resurrected, and some people go to Jannah, some people go to hell, and Allah says on that time to this man that enter paradise. Well, this doesn't go with the meaning of the verse, does it? Because then he says, I wish my people knew how I am being treated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where on the day of judgment his people would know. So this is not a correct interpretation of the verse. Therefore, we have to admit that this paradise in which he entered was something that he entered immediately after his death, and he wished, which is our next question, of course, which we deal with, why people wish after they die, that people who are still alive to know things about them. And he wished that his people would know that how God has honored him. Well, the exegetes have mentioned different opinions about what kind of Jannah it was and how he entered it. Now, from Hassan al-Basri, we have one opinion, and that is, well, this man was not actually killed. He was raised to Jannah. Because if he was killed, then he has to be resurrected again, and people are not resurrected until the day of judgment. So he says, he gives the opinion, and of course all these opinions, as I said previously, these are mere guess. They are not actually rooted in a firm knowledge of someone who has received knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, when people decided to kill him, Allah raised him towards himself, and he is in the paradise. Well, what kind of paradise is this? And he doesn't die there until the whole universe is destroyed by Allah on the day of judgment and the Jannah is destroyed. Well, the Jannah, the paradise which we are told about on the day of judgment, is not going to be destroyed. So he then says that, well, that is a different paradise, and that paradise, it is possible for that paradise to be destroyed. Well, what kind of paradise do we have other than the paradise? Well, we have two gardens mentioned in the Quran. One is the garden of Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam as Jannah, which is not, of course, the paradise which we know on the day of judgment. The other paradise is the paradise of Akhirah, which people would enter it after they are judged. So there is no other Jannah that would be destroyed on the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this is just a sheer kind of statement which does not rely on any verse, any other verse of the Quran. Mujahid, who is again a very great interpreter and student of Ibn Abbas, says the same thing. The other people, well, they don't, some other people, they don't talk about what kind of paradise it was. They just say Allah killed him, they killed him, and Allah revived him, gave him life again, and he entered, made him to enter paradise. Well, not very appealing to reason, actually, these kinds of interpretations. Now, from other verses of the Quran, we would know that after we die, there is some sort of reward and some sort of punishment which could be called Jannah and could be called Hell, could be called, well, some sort of a place of punishment. And this is not, of course, the Jannah and the Hell which are raised on the Day of Judgment. Well, we know that that Jannah and that Hell are not yet created, or are not yet completely created. Well, we know about Hell in the Quran very explicitly, that it is not yet blazed. We have in several verses, وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ, the day the Hell is blazed. So even if the Hell is there at the moment, it is not yet blazed. And in other verses we have وَسُعِّرَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِلْغَاوِينَ, the day the Hell is blazed for those who are led astray. And paradise, well, if paradise is created already, where is it? I mean, we know on the Day of Judgment, then when everything is set up for judgment, then this earth would change shape. The universe would change shape. And both hell and paradise are in this universe, are not somewhere else. So if now we say that there is a Jannah and there is a hell created, and Allah has created them and would allow some people would enter it, then where is it? It should be somewhere in this universe. And if it is somewhere in this universe, some people might try to find it. Except if we say that it is in some other dimensions, which we are unaware of. But we are certain from the Quran that even if it is in some other dimension, those dimensions are to be created later on after the blowing of the horn. Those dimensions are to be created on this earth and in this universe. So it is out of question to think that someone could be let into Jannah or let into hell, the Akhirah hell or Jannah, after they die. Out of question, how did the Prophet enter Jannah, and how did he see the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there on the night of Mi'raj? Well, of course, it was just a kind of seeing the future. Well, it is possible to see the future of Jannah. Allah knows what is going in Jannah in future. And some people might know what is going on in Jannah in future, but of course they are not in the Jannah which is not yet created. They just see what happens later on. It is possible to see what happens later on, but it is not possible to enter a Jannah and live there which is not yet created. Now, what do you say about this verse? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not think those who are killed in the way of Allah that they are dead, but they are alive, they are sustained by the Lord, they are given rizq, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, some exegetes, again, just out of sheer guess, they say, well, they eat from the fruit of Jannah, but they are not let into Jannah. Well, if Jannah is not created yet, how they eat from its fruit? Where are the fruits yet to eat from? So we have to actually build a kind of tenable theory about all these verses which tell us about the punishment and the reward, the Jannah or the hell after the death that people enter it. Well, some people totally deny that there is a Jannah or a hell after the death before the resurrection. We call that Jannah or hell of Barzakh. Well, this is a very reasonable name for it. You know, Barzakh is the time between we die and the time between everything is resurrected for the day of judgment. So when we die, our souls are in Barzakh. Everyone lives there in Barzakh. The soul doesn't die until the day of judgment. Of course, our souls would die on the day of judgment. When the horn is blown, every soul on this creation, in the creation, would die. Even the angels would die. Everything would die, and then they are resurrected again. But until that time, the souls are here in Barzakh. And of course, this idea of Barzakh is different from idea of limbo or purgatory or all other things that are mentioned in Christian theology. Of course, they are different statuses of the same word, Barzakh, but not a very inclusive word as Barzakh, which means every soul. It includes every soul. Good, bad, those who are asleep, those who are rewarded, those who are in Jannah, those who are in hell. So we could say that there is a Jannah of Barzakh and a hell of Barzakh. Well, we see these in many verses of the Quran. First of all, in this one, he was told immediately after he died, enter paradise. And Allah calls it paradise, actually. And this is strange, because we might say that although they live in some sort of pleasing life, their souls, but could we call it a garden, something like that? Because garden is a physical thing. When we talk about paradise, we know that it is a physical thing. We know that after our souls would die with the blowing of the horn, we go back to our bodies again, and we are resurrected. And then we either go to hell or go to paradise. So it is a physical life. But in Barzakh, there is no physical life. It's just souls which are living, being rewarded, or being punished, or being asleep, as most of people are, or even not knowing what has happened. It is possible. Some people die and they don't even know that they are dead. And don't think that the life after death is something quite similar for everyone. Everyone would see whatever other people see, or everyone knows that what has happened. No, some people, there are lots of stories about people in graves that when some people saw Barzakh, they saw them and they saw that they even didn't know that they are dead. That they thought that they are continuing with whatever they were doing in this world. So it is not a kind of similar life for everyone, but we know that it is not a physical life. It is some sort of between spiritual and physical. There are dimensions in that world, but not physical dimensions, so to speak. So there is a Jannah, there is a hell, and calling it Jannah and calling it hell is to give similarity to the bounties which are in Jannah and bounties which are in hell. And of course, it's not a physical garden, not a physical fire. It is a fire which embraces the soul, and bounties that again embraces the soul. No physical life. Now, the reason for these things, as I mentioned about the hell, in Surah Mu'min, Surah number 40, verses 45 and 46, after the story of Mu'min wa Al Fir'aun, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا, Allah preserved him from the trickeries, the vicious trickeries that they made. وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ, and a very bad punishment fell upon Al Fir'aun. And what was that punishment? النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا, in the morning and in the evening they are being offered to fire. But this is not on the day of judgment, it is before that. What about the day of judgment? ويوم تقوم الساعة, and the day the sa'ah is upheld. أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب, we would say make the آل فرعون to enter a more severe punishment. They are in punishment now, but they would enter a more severe punishment. And it is strange, because although the people, the good people in this Jannah of Barzakh, are having all these ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they hurry for the day of judgment. They are in rush, because they know that they are going to go to a better status. And bad people like Al Fir'aun, although they are offered to fire in the morning and in the evening, they are very reluctant for the day of judgment to come, and they wish that it never comes, and they are in this kind of punishment, because they know that when it is the time for it, they would go to a more severe punishment. So they would like to remain in that status as they are in Barzakh, and not yet going to that more severe punishment, or to something which would make them enter hell. So this is one very strong verse which backs the idea of something in Barzakh, some sort of punishment, a hell. And the verse we are talking about is a very supportive argument for, well, believing that there is a Jannah in Barzakh again. And this is what we call Adabul Qabr and Ni'matul Qabr. Now, you have heard about Adabul Qabr, or the punishment of grave. Or the reward in grave. Now, it is not the body which is punished, because some people think that, well, after we die, how we are going to be punished, how we are feeling those hard things in the grave. There is something which is called the pressure of grave, which, of course, that is something different from all these, because that pressure of grave may be sensed by both good people and bad people, and that is not the pressure of the dust which comes upon us, is the pressure of leaving what we are used to something very new. And that's why you actually recite Salatul Wahsha, or Salatul Qabr, or Salatul Laylat al-Dafn for the deceased, however good they are. Suppose you want to move house from your house, which is a kind of moderate house, to a very, very luxurious house. Now, in the first few days, you feel that you are missing your old place. You feel that you are a stranger here. You are not yet settled there. Now, this is the case for both good people and bad people when they are transferred to the new world. It's not the talk of bodies, it's the talk of soul. When they are transferred to the new world, for a few days, they are somehow puzzled and they feel that they would like to go back. They would like to be with their relatives, their friends. They feel that they are missing them. But for good people, after a few days, they are then fully engaged with what they see in that world, the wonders of the world of Barzakh, which is of course nothing as compared to the wonders of the world of Qiyamah and of the wonders of Paradise. So the pressure of grave is different from this punishment and this reward. We say, common for both good people and bad people. But this one, punishment of grave and reward of grave, it is not actually in the grave. It is the world of the soul. And the very, very famous hadith, Al-Qabru imma rawdatun min riyad al-jannah, aw hufratun min hufar al-niran. The grave is either a garden, a lawn of the lawns of paradise, a garden of the gardens of paradise, or a hole of the holes of Jahannam. So the grave itself, I mean, if you dig it, if you bring the body out, you can't sense anything. There's nothing there. It is the world of the soul. It is the other dimension of our lives, which are being, which undergoes these kind of different feelings and experiences in the grave. So this man was told by Allah or by the angels, enter paradise. Now, if there is no paradise yet created, if the paradise is going to come later on to be created on this earth, in this universe, what about these reports about things on this earth being from paradise or from hell? Well, I'm sure you have heard about it. For example, Hajar al-Aswad. Haven't you heard that it is something from paradise? A stone which has come from paradise. Or the pillars of Kaaba. We have in hadith that they have come from paradise. Or some fruits, for example. They are from paradise we have. And some animals from paradise, some animals from hell. Many other reports I cannot remember now, but I know there are lots of these things, that some things have come from paradise, some things have come from hell. And the world of animals and the world of lifeless things, like stones, for example. Of course, we don't know anything about it. But we know from the Quran that some animals and even some stones are having a kind of knowledge and understanding of God different from others. In this, the verse about Banu Israel, which says after slaughtering that cow, and rubbing the blood to a dead person which came alive and told who had killed him. Allah says this was a sign for you that Musa was a prophet, but instead of you increasing faith, what you did, ثم قصت قلوبكم من بعد ذلك, your hearts went harder and harder. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ, like stones, your hearts have become like stones. You cannot understand anything. But even stones are not as hard as your hearts. أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ, it is harder than stones. Then Allah talks about the stones. This is very interesting, very interesting. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ مِنْهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. The stones are still not as hard as your hearts, because some stones would split and rivers flow from between it. وَأَنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَشَقَّقْ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. And, well, some stones let water go through it, and some stones split even to let water come out of it. Well, these are natural things. But there is one unnatural thing about some stones. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَحْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. There are some stones in which there is khashyatullah. Okay? Well, usually the exegetes say, well, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that when, for example, an earthquake comes or something happens in the mountains, the stones fall down. And this is an obeyance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it is said that some stones fall due to khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is a very, not very tasty kind of interpretation. It really means that there are some stones in which there are khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And well, we could well say that these stones have come from paradise. Okay, like Hajar al-Aswad. Well, how do you know? Maybe there is khashyatullah in Hajar al-Aswad. We don't know. But Allah says that there are some stones in this world, on this earth, in which there is khashyatullah. And khashyatullah is different from obedience. Well, everything in this universe, when we go to the world of course, beings which do not have free will, everything obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taw'an aw karhan, willingly or unwillingly. Everything obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, unless if we say that, well, some stones obey him willingly and some stones obey him willingly or unwillingly. Well, again, this is not a very understandable interpretation. There are some stones, the verse says, which have khashyatullah, different from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, okay, if there are things like this, if things have come from paradise, then, and paradise is not yet created, then how could we state such a thing? Any idea? Any answer to this question? Yeah?
The status of these things would be as if they were in paradise.
Would be as if they were in paradise. Then couldn't we say that some people have come from paradise? Because their status are as if they are in paradise. Yeah, but has he come from paradise? Yeah.
When you see him, you maybe if you have the front, you would be seeing paradise.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I go back one step? Is it possible to assume that paradise and hell does actually exist, not on this earth, but within this universe? Of course, we don't have access to that. And then, but the hell is not blazed yet, not ablaze yet.
Mm-hmm.
It would be ablaze on that day.
Yeah.
The hell is not complete. The structure is there, but all the additions will come there. The fruits are there. So one of your ayah where there's going to be a change, it fits in there.
Yeah.
Which ayah of the Quran would not fit into that proposition that both exist?
Well, the whole body of ayat which talk about the paradise and the hell being on this earth, well, a part of it at least, and no, on this earth. Because we are told that this earth would change shape, would become much, much bigger. And at least part of paradise and part of hell would be on this earth. Well, of course, the idea which is put forward in the Quran is that paradise would cover the whole universe completely. وَجَنَّةً عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. The paradise which is as big as the whole universe. Then comes the question, so where is the hell? And it might be out of this universe, it might be in other dimension, in some other dimension, but certainly this earth is a place of paradise. Yes, you want to say something?
On his point, maybe hell is already created, but the reason it's not a place is because Allah says in the Quran, the fuel for the hell is the men of the jinn, and the fuel hasn't
Hasn't arrived yet. Yeah, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. In fact, I didn't tell you this, but Saduq in his I'tiqadat says that our belief is that Jannah and Hell are already created. And of course, well, of course, no one is there yet, and no one is allowed in that, in those two places before the day of judgment is complete. Well, because of course the Jannah or the Hell are different states of our progression towards our eternal and final destiny. So we couldn't arrive at Jannah or at Hell before we have completed all these stations and statuses. But there are some people among the Shias, like Saduq, very of course venerable, that say that Jannah and Hell are created. But as I said, he doesn't rely on the verses of the Quran for this. He relies on some hadith, which many Shia exegetes would not see quite conforming with different verses of the Quran. So, if we say that these things have come from Jannah, we could say, yes, Jannah is created but not yet completed, or some part of it in other parts of the universe but not yet on this earth. But I think we couldn't say this because before the blowing of the horn, you see, the blowing of the horn is very, very important. Very important for the evolution of this world, this universe, towards the day of judgment. You know, there are two blowings of the horn. One blowing, we call Nafhasur. Blowing one, everything would die. And blowing two, so this is complete death, blackout, so to speak. Nothing is there anymore in the sense of life. No angels. The angels are dead or are taken out of this universe. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَاءَهَا. The angels are taken to the boundaries of this world, okay, when the blowing comes. Because if they are in this universe, they would die. No one, no living thing could actually sustain, could endure this blowing. No living thing would. Even we are told that Israfil, which blows in the horn, would die itself. So the second comes life. Now, how long is between these two? Maybe billions of years. We don't know. But and in that billions of years between the first blowing and second blowing, the whole universe would undergo evolution. A very, very severe evolution which the world has not yet experienced. We know that there is evolution in this. There has been evolution in the world since it has started up till now. But it is in no way comparable to this evolution between these two blowings, in which there is no living thing and all the earth, the stars, the planets, they undergo a kind of evolution to get prepared for the day of judgment, so that when we come to life again, we see that we are in a different world, we are on a different earth, and that's what amazes us actually. When we come out of our graves, it's not the same graves as we were buried in, of course, because the earth is changed, everything is changed between these two blowings. So if we agree to this theory, then we couldn't say that there is a hell yet or there is a paradise yet. It would come about after that evolution. After that evolution, and that evolution would change the qualities, the characteristics of this world. That's why we could live in Jannah forever and we might have different physical characteristics. Yes. No, we don't know. You see, we don't know how long.
No,
would it take? Okay, he could do it overnight, but we see that he doesn't do things overnight. You see, in this world, I mean, how long has it taken for human beings to come into existence? How long has it taken for trees, for water, for all these things to come into existence? So the whole, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, overnight or billions of years is the same. It's for us, which, yeah.
The other point is, in number one, does death mean just physical and spiritual death, or just physical death? When you say everything would die.
Yeah, mainly it means spiritual death. The souls would die. The angels would either die or would go out.
My final point is, for number one and number two, what are the ayahs of the Quran which say number one and number two?
Well, many, many verses. I try to locate it in a particular surah. Well, I might not remember in which surah this is, but in one surah we have, and when the horn is blown and everything is dead in this world, and when the second blowing comes and everything comes to life, and we have lots of surahs, lots of verses talking about this. For example, in Surah Haqqa, we have فَإِذَا نُفَخَ فِي الصُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, when the one blowing comes. And because of that blowing, وَحُمِلَتَ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالِ, the mountains and the whole earth is as if it's taken out of its place. وَحُمِلَتَ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالِ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدَةً, and they are pounded and they become like powders. And this becoming like powder is mentioned in many, many different verses of the Quran. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ, it is in this way, on that day, which waqa would happen. And then it talks about the skies, وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ, and the sky would be torn apart. And then, of course, after the second blowing, which is not mentioned in Surah Haqqa, but yes, in many verses of the Quran we have it. If you are interested, I could find about all of them for next week, if you agree, inshallah. Well, I don't think it is related to what we are talking about now, so we might come to it afterwards, and I will bring all the verses about these two blowings. But these two blowings are very instrumental. I mean, the first blowing, which destroys everything, and then the evolution in between, which might take overnight or which might take billions of years, okay? But in Riwayat we have that there would be a very long time. There would be a very long time before the second blowing would come. And that second blowing gives life to souls and makes the souls go back to their bodies. And of course, we come to a different world. A world in which there is a paradise and there is a hell. In words, which people wouldn't die by burning. I mean, if we are going to be burnt in hell, not we, of course, inshallah, the kuffar, if we are going to be burnt in hell, then how come that they don't die? We will come in a world in which there is no death. And that is a different world, of course. That's a different thing, which comes about after this evolution between the first and second blowings. So, if we believe in this, then it is difficult to believe that hell and Jannah are created now. They would come about after a long evolution of this world in which there is no living soul, in which there is no angels. And, well, there are only a few very, very honored and highly respected beings which would do things in this world. In the same Surah Haqqa, we are told that in between the two blowings, the arsh is being carried by eight beings. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ, on that day in which the blowing comes, those angels who were carrying the arsh, like Jibreel, like Mikael, like Israfil, they might be taken away to the boundaries, or they might die. We don't know for sure. But there are other things which would carry the throne, so to speak, the whole affairs that Allah wants to be carried out. And the verse says that on that day the arsh is being carried by 8 beings. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبَّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. And those 8 beings are no more angels, because angels could not sustain that blowing. And that's why Allah says, وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ عَرْجَاهَا. The angels are taken to the boundaries of the universe so that they don't die. Well, this goes with the Quran. In Rawayat we have that the angels would die. We have to rely on the Quran rather than relying on Rawayat, so to speak. So they are taken out of this universe. Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, they are taken out so that they wouldn't die. And then there are stronger beings which come into play, and they would carry the throne of the Lord to do things in this world. And in Rawayat we have these 8 are 4 from the past people and 4 from the posterior: Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Nuh. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, and Muhammad, Ali, Hassan, and Hussein, alayhim salam. These are the 8 which carry the throne between the two blowings. And carrying the throne, of course, means that doing whatever is going to happen in this world. Okay, these are Rawayat. And what we know for sure is that the carriers of the throne will change, and there are 8 beings which would carry the throne on that day. Now, if there is no paradise yet, and there is no hell yet, so what are these things which we talk about? And if there is, as we heard from our friends here, well, it is plausible to say that they have come from Jannah. But if there isn't yet, what does it mean? Now, Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh has a theory about it. A very, very nice theory. He says, he actually refers to a verse in Surah Hijr. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Surah Hijr, ayah number 21, Surah 15. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Actually, Allama Tabatabai, the interesting thing about him is that he has found a few very, very key verses of the Quran. And if you go through his exegesis, you will see that he referred to these few verses, maybe 10-15 verses, which for him are very, very key verses of the Quran, very important and very instrumental in our understanding of the spiritual world. And one of those verses is this one, which you would see he would refer to in many, many different places to explain many, many different theories about the spiritual world. And one of them is this verse, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عَنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. There is nothing in this world except that the treasures of it, the sources of it, is with us. So, human beings, the source of all human beings is with us, and we create everything from that source. Okay, or we send down everything from that source. إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَانُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. And we just send down from that source to a specific measure. We do not reveal all the source, of course. Say, for example, gold in this world. Allah says, the source of all gold is with me, and I send down only to a specific measure of it. The source of all jinn, shaitan, is with me, and I will send down only to a specific measure. That is why Allah talks about sending down cattle, sending down dresses for us, and sending down many, many, of course, sending down rain has a physical meaning because it comes from the sky. But even that, sending down the rain, is from that very original source. Now, it doesn't mean that there is somewhere in this universe in which all human beings are kept, or all gold is kept, and Allah just throws it down according to the measure he wants. No, it has a very, very deep meaning, and that is Well, when things are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say the souls are created by Him, okay? It means that, well, He could create innumerable number of souls. I mean, why this specific number of souls? From the day the day one to the day of judgment, you know that there are a specific number of souls which are created. Okay? Why this number? Why not any different number? Why the amount of wealth in this world is only this much? Why not more? So that no one would quarrel over wealth. Why wealth is, I mean, wheats, rice, and all these things are not so abundant that no one would quarrel about it. Now, for example, in Surah Shura, Allah says, if we had sent down sustenance for you, for human beings, more than what we have sent, it would not only wouldn't have ended the quarrels, but it would have caused more injustice on the earth. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرَّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If we had expanded the amount of rizq that we are giving to people at this moment that you see, they would have made mischief on the earth. If America was more powerful than they are now, what would have they done? If Shaitan was more powerful than what he is now, what would have they done? I mean, the Shaitan would have done. If we were more powerful than we are, why do we have power this much? Why could we see only this much? Just a very limited range of frequencies. Why couldn't we fly, for example? I mean, you see, we have lots and lots of limitations. And these limitations could have not been there. They could have easily been taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, who determines the measure? This measurement is a very, very important thing to think about. I mean, qadar, which Quran talks about. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. We only send down whatever we want to a specific measurement. And then in Surah Qamar, we have إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. Okay, we have created everything according to a measure. This measurement is very, very crucial. Now, Allama Tawatabai says, there are two sources in this world. And one source is the source of all good. And the other source is the source of all bad. And both are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He wants to mix these things together. Now He says, what is Jannah? Jannah is the source of all good. And what is hell? Hell is the source of all bad things. And this is why good things return to Jannah and bad things return to Jahannam, because everything would return to its source. Now, we are given free will because Jannah is a place where human beings should go with their free will to have that kind of splendid life. But there are things which go back to Jannah without free will. They wouldn't have a splendid life there, they're just in Jannah. But they are good, because good people are going to use them. And bad things are to go back to hell. Now, when we say good and bad, don't take it as if things without free will are good and bad in that sense. They are either instrumental for bad-willing creatures, or a place for bad-willing creatures, or a means for them, or something like that. Whatever is a means for people with bad will. Of course, for example, the angels who are in the hell, they are not punished there, are they? I mean, the angels which punish people, are they punished in the hell? No, that is the kind of their existence. They are created like that. They couldn't live in paradise. They would die if they go to paradise. Now, there are some animals like that. I mean, cockroaches. Do they live in hell or in paradise? Well, of course. I don't think you would like them to be in paradise, because they are not created for there. They are created for Jahannam. They come from that source, and they would go back to that. So don't think that these animals would perish. No. They would be resurrected on the day of judgment, but not to be judged, but to go to their original places, and they live there, and they have a kind of living, and of course they give a hard time to people in Jahannam, and the good animals would give pleasure to people in paradise, but they are created for there. So these are two sources which Allah has created so that He mixes it in this world and determines who should go where. And then they would go back to their original places as they were. Now, when we say Hajar al-Aswad has come from paradise, it means, well, this is the theory of Allama Tawatabai, it has come from that source of all goodness and benevolence, and it would go back to paradise, of course. And this is the case about many. There are many, many stones in this earth which we don't know about. Hajar al-Aswad, of course, is a very special stone, but many other things which we just pass by them, and well, we don't know what they are, why they are created, where are they going to be placed on the day of judgment, after the evolution, where are they going to be placed. But about animals, Allah says explicitly that they are going to be resurrected. Not to be judged like you, but to be placed in their original place. And in the beginning of Surah An'am, we have Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumata wan-nur. So He has created two different sources, dhulumat and nur. Dhulumat is for Jahannam, and nur is for paradise. And these two are intermingled here. That's why good people and bad people live together in this world. But on the day of judgment, they are going to depart, to separate. That's why it's called Yawmul Fasr, the day of separation. Good source and bad source, they would go to their original places. And then, well, there are many, many other things which we don't know the answers to in this regard. So we leave it until the day of judgment to find about it, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahir.
Allah. Can we start with the question and answer? Brothers or sisters, whoever is ready. Yes, sister.
I'm just wondering, I'm quite confused about the soul. If you're saying that if we all die and the soul goes in the barzakh, so how do they stay alive there? Are they being fed?
Are they being?
Fed.
Sorry, are they being what?
Are they being given food or drinks or whatever?
Oh, yeah. They're being fed. Well, I don't know. But they have a sort of sustenance there, yes. And they have... We have in the verse about shuhada, عند ربهم يرزقون, they are being fed or sustained beside their Lord. So, yes, in barzakh there are places which are beside the Lord, in vicinity of the Lord, and there are places very far from Him. In fact, places which are again near to the source of good and near to the source of bad. And we hear from some people that even there is marriage in barzakh. Okay, it's very strange to think about the souls having wives or husbands or things like this. We don't know about that world really, but yes, they are being fed not physical things, they are being fed spiritual things. When I say spiritual things, I don't mean knowledge and these things. Of course there is knowledge being fed to some souls there. We have about shuhada which have died at a very young age. They didn't know very much about iman. They didn't know very much about... You see, iman, increasing the degree of iman is very instrumental for our next life. I mean, because Allah is going to be seen by faith in the very important phrase of Amirul Mu'mineen, that the eyes wouldn't see Him. He is not seen by the eyes, but He is seen by haqa'iqul iman. Haqa'iqul iman means the different categories, realities of faith. So when you increase faith in this world, in the other world you are placed in a different place regarding to your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, about someone who has died at a very young age as a shaheed, they have not increased faith actually, have they? So they could not be placed as a person who has lived, say, for 90 years and has increased faith day by day. So the places should be different. Now, we are told in hadith that for these people, some angels are appointed to teach them those haqa'iqul iman, so that they could be placed at a very, very high place. So this is a kind of sustenance for them. But you see, barzakh is not a complete spiritual world. Barzakh is somewhere between. That's why it's called barzakh. Barzakh means it in between. It's in between the physical world and the spiritual world. So we have dimensions there. That's why you see in your dreams, for example, your dead relatives or dead people with colors, with dimensions and all these things. And that is what really exists in barzakh. So what kind of food, what kind of living is there, we don't know. But yes, there are things there. It is not a complete spiritual thing. Yeah.
Okay. Sheikh, you said that some things come from hell and some things come from heaven, and then they mix on this universe. What about the souls of human beings? Do they, some of them come from hell, some from heaven, or from other sources?
Yeah, you are getting to a very, very difficult issue. That is what we have in the riwayat of Tina, that the Tina, in fact, the soil, or the making, the creating soil of some people, the clay, so to speak, of some people, are from hell, and the clay of some people are from heaven. Now, it doesn't mean that it originally comes from heaven or hell. It means that we make it in a way so that it becomes suitable for hell, or it becomes suitable for paradise. Now, about things without free will, yes, they are either from hell or from paradise. Well, in the sense, in the meaning that I mentioned from the theory of Allah Tabarak, that they come from the good source or bad source. But about human beings, we are not determined when we come to this world that where we do we belong. We make ourselves to suit either hell or paradise. And that's why a person which is appropriate to go to hell could never enter paradise, or vice versa, because these two places are quite different from each other. So if we create, if we make our soul in the way that it becomes suitable for paradise, then of course we go to paradise. So when we say the tina of some people have come from paradise, and tina is, well, not have come, is from paradise, the tina of some people is from hell, it means that they have made it in a way that it would be suitable for either of these two places.
Yeah, sister.
Assalamu alaikum. The ayah about shuhada, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَا الَّذِينَ قُتُلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءً. So what is the status of those shuhada? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely says they are ahya, as if He is distinguishing them from others. Or are they?
You see, the barzakh, actually I entangled myself in this session in a very difficult discussion. You see, the barzakh is not a place which is similar for everyone. You see, some very, very good people, they have a kind of living which is stronger than our living in this world. So we have, number one, people of good life in the aftermath of this world. And two, we have people in between, which is the status of most people. They are like sleeping well beings. They don't know what's going on. Okay? Most of the people are like this. They don't know what's going on. They're as if they are asleep. Okay? And then there are bad people, very bad people, which are people of bad life. Now, Fir'aun is as alive as, say, Ja'far al-Tayyar in Barzakh. But he experiences a very bad life. And Ja'far al-Tayyar experiences a very good life. So when Allah says they are alive, it means in relation to these people who are almost asleep. They are not dead, they are almost asleep. They don't know what's going on. As I said, some people even don't know that they are dead. So these people also are also alive, but completely alive, completely aware, but of course with a different status. And the verse about Shuhada says two things. One, that they are alive. Okay, this is very important. The second thing, which is more important, is that they are beside their lords. Their Lord. عِنْدَ رَبِّهَمْ. Okay, they are in the vicinity of the lords. In the Barzakh, there are many, many different places. They are in the vicinity of the Lord, and they are sustained by Him. Directly, عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. So these are three different categories which distinguishes them from others. But the life, yes, everyone is alive, but the degree of life differs. Yeah.
Yeah, Nizar?
This is more of a comment probably than a question. So, a child born in this earth, living for 40, 70, 100 years, whatever, developing in this earth, and then dying, and then the period of Barzakh could go on for whatever time, there's uncertainty, millions, billions of years. Mm-hmm. And we heard earlier that there might be further development, further testing, further interaction with the Creator, and then this big blowing comes, and then another billions of years, and then whatever happens to you. And at no stage are you in control. In no stage can you say, well, I don't want to proceed anymore. Stop. I don't mind. Just stop here. Any stage. I don't want to carry on till the end. Yeah? And the end is perpetuity. Now, all of this is due to the action of a man and a woman at one moment in time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes? Now, you might, first of all, it raises question, raising children in the first instant that you decided.
Well, that man and woman also didn't have free will in that. I mean, they were forced to...
Yeah, I understand. I missed one of your lectures, a couple of your lectures, where you said that that activity itself of the man and woman may be predetermined.
Well, what is predetermined is that we have to live in this world. This is predetermined. We haven't come to this world by our own choice. This is something predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The things which are predetermined are much more than the things which are left to our free will. Okay? Now, it is predetermined that there should be two sexes, men and women. And it is predetermined, well, Allah knows that Allah doesn't actually organize His administration with preaching. Quite contrary to what we do, He doesn't preach us that, well, I really would like to have reproduction of human beings and I want to see this much of people, so please, if you want me reward, go and have interaction of sexes and give me children and other things. No, He just puts the hormone in your blood and that's all. It goes on forever, for perpetuity. I mean, this is how Allah organizes things in this world. And this is predetermined. It is predetermined that we have to come to this life, predetermined that we have to die, predetermined that we have to go to Barzakh, and every other thing is predetermined. Okay? The only thing which is not predetermined is this period of 60, 70 years of ours, that we have to somehow create our own soul to be suitable either for Jannah or for the hell. Otherwise, there is no option whatsoever beyond this. And the moment we die, in fact, we have somehow thrown our spirit to a world. And it goes in that direction forever. And depending in which direction we have thrown it, it would go there forever. So this period of 60, 70 years is very, very crucial, very important. And that's why you see in the words of prophets, A'imma, they were very scared. They actually admonished us to a very, very great extent that you have to beware, do not be cheated by the pleasures of this world. You should know that you are going, you have a mission, you have to complete it. Well, of course, most of us, well, wouldn't take heed. Yes, this is the only thing which we have some free will in, otherwise we don't have any other free will. I don't know what is the point you want to raise, or this was the...
It was simply that that activity that a man and a husband, a man and a woman participates, the effect of that is tremendous, isn't it? I mean, producing a child, but you're putting the child through the full test for billions of years and in perpetuity.
Yeah, but you are not responsible for them, don't worry.
Yes, sister.
Yeah.
No, okay, we'll go to Imtiaz first. Because, yeah.
As-salamu alaykum. Thank you very much for your talk. I've got two or three parts to the same question. The first one is this concept of Barzakh and this physical existence of the paradise. Is it shared by all the sects of Islam? That's the first thing. School of thoughts. And the second question that comes to my mind is the end purpose of paradise and hell. Is it to reward the good and punish the bad? If that is the case, why does it have to be physical and not spiritual? Because we are getting a punishment and reward in Barzakh in one form or the other anyway.
Yeah. Well, yes, the physical resurrection, so to speak, is not shared by all schools of thought in Islam, and, well, among different religions also there are different opinions. But if you refer to the Quran, there is no way to get away with the concept of physical resurrection. I mean, the verses are so explicit about it that if you want to somehow interpret them differently, you have to change the meaning of one third of the verses of the Quran, almost. But yes, there have been among different groups of Muslims, people who have said there is no physical resurrection, and that is because they despised the physical world, and they said whatever is good belongs to spirit, do not belong to physics. And this is not something which, of course, Islam would support. I mean, the Islamic belief would support. Now, among the Shias, there is no difference of opinion that the resurrection is the physical resurrection. That difference of opinion exists between different sects, between Shiites and some sects of Sunni religion and some other sects. But among the Shias, among the Ithna Asharis especially, there is no difference of opinion. The second thing is that, well, Allah could have created right from the beginning a world of spirits, not physical world. But what's wrong with this physical world? I mean, this is a more complete kind of existence, having both spirit and physics. And you might say Allah himself doesn't have physical life. Why shouldn't we be like him? Well, of course, Allah doesn't have a spiritual life as well. I mean, the spirit or soul is something created by him, as the physics is something created by him. So this kind of mixture is something which most probably in Jannah is something which more easily leads you towards the vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than a simple spiritual only soul based life. Otherwise the angels, who have no physics, would have been nearer to Allah than human beings or than jinns. Okay, jinns of course have physics, their physics is different from ours, but jinns and human beings could get nearer to Allah than angels because of their physical life. And it means that this physical life is very important, very instrumental to get to those very, very high quality, high degrees of vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Jannah has a physical life. Well, this is, as far as I think, something which we have to really take in mind. the philosophical thinking, some mystical thinkings, and especially the Christian theology, despises the physics. And that's why it has entered to some Islamic ideological systems. And we think that physical life is something unimportant, something that should be, well, kept aside, something that we should leave. And this is a wrong idea, I think. We are physical beings, and we are going to remain physical beings.
Yeah, the only problem is that things are not as simple, like, for example, the example of cockroaches. And you can think of many such insects, like a bee, for example. Nobody would like to be stung by a bee.
Yeah.
But we would all like to have its honey.
Yeah, yeah.
So if the bees are put in Jannat or Jahannam, you see what I mean, depends where they are. The honey goes with them as well. So... So a lot of these
now
insects...
Now you shouldn't worry about that.
No, I know, I don't worry about
there
it.
There are rivers of honey in Jannah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But there are a lot of things, you know, which look very crude, but they're performing a very important function, and therefore makes a little bit... If people think about it in depth and philosophically, as you said, but yes, I accept that we cannot take Quran in a completely metaphorical way, and otherwise, one third will have to be altered. Yes, I take your point that the Shia Ishnashri point of view should be that it is a physical world. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, well, actually, you pointed to a very important issue, and that is we shouldn't really try to categorize different animals for Jahannam or for Jannah. This is not up to us. It is a very, very complicated thing. And this is only mentioned by Allah in passing, that all animals are like you and they are going to be resurrected. That's all. We don't know which is created for what, and we shouldn't try to figure it out because we can't. So we only know that, yes, there are different things going to be put in different places. That's all, yeah.
Sisters? No? Okay, Abbas.
Alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
In the verse we read, قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ, it was said, enter the paradise. And in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Nafsul Mutma'inna, Dukhuli Jannati, enter, commands, enter my paradise. Can you shed some light on what is my paradise here, as opposed to the paradise here? Why does Allah say my paradise to the Nafsul Mutma'inna? And just quickly, secondly, to reconcile, how do you reconcile between a hadith when we read about rewards, for example, of saying tasbih, you know, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah allahu akbar, and a tree is planted for us by the angel, or a brick is laid in the paradise, with this theory that we heard today?
Yeah. Well, this Jannah, as I said, is Jannah of Barzakh, about this man. But the Jannah mentioned in Surah Fajr is most probably the Jannah of Akhirah, okay? Because it talks first about the Qiyamah, and when everything is set up and people are judged, and then Allah says, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbik, on that day, okay? So that's Jannah of Akhirah. But Jannah of Akhirah, of course, is not one place. There are different Jannahs. And this Jannati, some exegetes say that this is a very special Jannah of the essence of the Lord himself. And the difference with other Jannahs is not physical difference. The physical is the same. The spiritual difference is very, very outstanding. And people who are in this paradise would experience things about the Lord that people of lower paradises could never, ever have until the end of eternity. They couldn't have those experiences. So this is, in fact, the difference between the Jannah of Awliya, the Jannah of Muqarrabun, and Jannah of simple Mu'minun, is that their differences of the Lord is different. Their experiences of the Lord is different. And this Jannah especially is for very, very special, distinguished Muqarrabun, the Jannah of the essence of the Lord. So this is about the difference between these two Jannahs. The other question, well, if we say that there is a place called Jannah, and by our actions a tree is planted for us in that place, okay, then that place should expand day by day, isn't it? I mean, as the mu'minun come. And so we have to think, if we think that it's a physical thing, we have to think that it is somewhere in the universe that we don't know about, and we couldn't actually pass through it, whatever days goes on. But a more plausible explanation of this is that whatever we do, I mean, with tasbihat, the angels not actually plant a tree for us. They are as if they are planting a tree. So when we enter the paradise, we see that there are lots and lots of gardens and palaces and all these things built for us due to our actions. And that is done in another dimension now. And after that blowing of the horn, that dimension would come into reality, is placed on this world, actually is somehow fitted to this physical. It's not physical as yet, but then it is fitted to this physical world, and we come and see that there are gardens for us, rivers for us, and all these things.
Okay, Sir Franz.
When you were mentioning about the grave and the first experience of you get the pressure, we've always been taught in the past this is a very painful thing, and you just mentioned, well, it's not so much painful, it's more remorseful.
Yeah.
And we don't want to let go. So that's the first thing, if you can explain that. And secondly, does that mean that if we cut our attachments to material things in this world, then we won't be so remorseful and we'll pass very quickly?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And painfulness is not for everyone. I mean, for mu'minun, it's not painful at all. It's very pleasurable experience. So that's pain only comes to those vicious souls which actually are detached from their material belongings. But yes, the more we cut ourselves from our belongings to this world, less we feel dazed and amazed and remorseful when we go to the other world. But still someone who has cut all the ties, because it's a totally new and strange world, they are puzzled for a while. So they feel estranged. They feel that they do not belong to this place. They are not used to it. So in the first few days, and there are days and nights, of course, because still that doesn't go out of the limit of time. So in the first few days, it is difficult until we actually fit ourselves in. But for very, very special souls, even this wouldn't happen, yes.
Sisters, and the last question.
We have a question here as well. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Does Allah bring some people back from Barzakh to Earth? And what is the Rajah?
Well, that's a different thing. We know that some people have come from Barzakh to this world, like the dead raised by Isa alayhi salam. They have come back from Barzakh to this world. Or the Prophet mentioned in the Quran, which we are told he was Uzair, that he wanted to see how Allah actually resurrects the dead, and he was dead himself, and he was raised after 100 years, and he came back to this life. But these people probably wouldn't experience much in Barzakh and they come back to this world, and they are not given, well, much time in this world to live again, to live twice, actually. It is possible. It has happened already. So it is possible in the future that there is some raj'ah, that some souls come from Barzakh to this world and live for a while again. What is the reason for that? We don't know. And we are told that that is when, of course, the whole world is on the threshold of the resurrection, on the threshold of the blowing. And that is a kind of preparation for it. It is an introduction to that resurrection day. And therefore, it could be a kind of sign of that resurrection for the people to know that, yes, the resurrection is going to happen. Like Ashab al-Kahf, for example, they brought back to life. Well, they were asleep, so to speak. But, well, sleeping for 300 years is like you die. And they were brought back to show to people that resurrection is possible. Now, on that day,